Becoming a follower of Jesus Christ is the beginning of a new life, not just figuratively, but in a very literal sense. Jesus himself described it as being born again in John 3:3, getting across the idea that a person is brought to life spiritually by the quickening of the Holy Spirit. And just like when we're physically born, we are then expected to grow, we're also expected to grow when we are born spiritually. If a baby doesn't grow, there's something seriously wrong with the child. And if we don't grow spiritually, it also indicates there's something wrong. To ensure that our physical life remains healthy and growing, we need to do some things to help the process, like getting the proper amount of rest, eating our vegetables, staying away from the junk food, getting out in the sunshine, exercising regularly, not standing in the middle of the freeway, stuff like that. Well, there are also things that we can do to ensure that we remain healthy and growing spiritually, and we're going to identify some of those things in the passage of Scripture that we'll be looking at today. The first 11 chapters of Hebrews contain a lot of theology. The final two chapters of Hebrews are largely devoted to the actual living out of the Christian life. These first few verses of chapter 12, which we'll be looking at today, they continue and complete the thought that the author has been pursuing throughout chapter 11. The author has presented example after example for us in chapter 11 of people who lived by faith. And he now presents the grand example of faith for us to consider, Jesus Christ. So Hebrews 12, begin reading in verse 1. Says, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Let's go back up to verse 1. And the very first word is therefore. It's one of those summarizing words. The author is making a grand summarizing response and application to all that he said in chapter 11. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, who is this great cloud of witnesses that he's referring to? Well, it's all of the people who have lived by faith in the past, who he has been talking about in chapter 11. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the many others not named. This is the great cloud of witnesses. The imagery that the author is using is that of a race in a great athletic contest. We're running in this race of faith, and all along the race course is this cheering crowd of people urging us on. And the unique thing about this crowd of people is that they have all run this race of faith too. They're not merely spectators. They are fellow faith leads. Now that may be a new word for you since I kind of made it up. Faith leads. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, a Christian, then you're a faith lead because you're in this race of faith. And the first thing that we can do to help ensure our spiritual health and growth is this. Remember the crowd. We're not alone in this race. We are not the first ones to have ever attempted this race. We are among a group of people that stretches back through all of human history who have lived a life of faith, trusting in God and his promises. The odds makers in Las Vegas consider home field advantage to be a significant thing that they take into account when they make those odds up, because playing in front of your own fans is a great encourager and morale booster. Well, the same is true for us in our race of faith in this life. knowing that we have thousands upon thousands of others who have gone before us, who lived this life of faith, who have run this race, it helps us to keep going and give our best effort, continuing to cling to the promises of God in Christ. Verse 1 continues and it says, "Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely." In ancient days, athletes didn't have these high-tech fabrics that we do in our own day. So they would run naked to eliminate all excess weight that would hinder them from running at maximum speed. This is the imagery that the author of Hebrews is making reference to here by laying aside every weight. As faithletes, we want to get rid of anything that will weigh us down in our race of faith. We want to be able to run our race at maximum speed and efficiency. The biggest strength killer in our life of faith is sin. It sucks the energy out of us and it distracts us away from the goal that Christ has called us to pursue. It's like a world-class runner trying to run in a race with an old tire tied to him that he's dragging along behind. For him to have any chance of winning the race, he needs to cut that old tire loose. And in a similar way, we need to cut the sin loose in our life so that we can run our best race. So the next thing that we can do to ensure spiritual health and growth is to remove hindrances. Verse 1, "And let us run with endurance." The Christian life is compared to a race, but it's not a short, quick wind sprint. Instead, it's a long-distance marathon-type race that requires endurance, perseverance. In James chapter 1, verse 2, James writes, "Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." The development of steadfastness or endurance or perseverance is an important part of spiritual maturity. Someone training for a long-distance race runs a lot, and they do it to develop endurance. We need endurance for the spiritual race that we're running to. The trials in our lives are building up our spiritual muscles. The Lord doesn't want us giving up when we encounter the hard spots in life. And they will come. They always come. But he wants us to push through, keep going, keep trusting him, leaning into him by faith. In a long-distance race, the winner is not always the one who starts out the fastest, but the one who finishes the race. The famous children's story that illustrates this point well is that story of the tortoise and the rabbit. You remember that story? When the starting gun went off, the rabbit tore off down the road, leaving the tortoise choking on his dust. But after a while, the rabbit, he got diverted with other things and he wandered farther and farther off course, forgetting about the race that he was running. The tortoise, on the other hand, he ran a steady, persevering pace, never wandering to the right or to the left, keeping his focus on the goal, staying true to his task at hand. And in the end, the tortoise won the race, even though in the beginning it looked like he was going to lose by a mile. Follow the tortoise's example rather than the rabbit's. Run like a tortoise. You go, I know it sounds counterintuitive, but there's a spiritual truth in that. Run like a tortoise. Don't be impressed with those who are running a fast, eye-catching race. They're the ones that get all the attention, but I have watched many of those people end up in the ditch with holes in their sneakers and bruises on their knees. Instead, give your attention to the quiet, consistent, hard-working, steady, faithful saints who are often overlooked but are always displaying grace and truth in their life. Those are the ones that we ought to be impressed with. Those are the ones who are setting the example that we want to follow. So the next thing that we can do to ensure our spiritual health and growth is to run with endurance. Verse 1 continues, it says, the race that is set before us. In a race, if the runner fails to follow the course set before him and instead follows a course that he makes up on his own, he will be disqualified and he will lose the race. You can't just run your own race. You have to follow the course. And the Lord has given us a course to follow for our race of faith. The Lord has given us a map for our life journey. That course, that map is the Bible. Read it, learn it, follow it. It will help you stay on course and finish well. So the next thing that we can do to ensure spiritual health and growth is to follow the map. Verse 2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The Greek word translated looking to means to keep thinking about without having one's attention distracted. The NIV actually does a better job than the ESV at capturing the meaning of this Greek word by translating it this way, fixing our eyes on Jesus. The image that comes to mind for me is that of a good herding dog who keeps his eyes continually fixed on his master, watching him for direction. I love this photo. Look at the dog, where his eyes are. They're totally focused on his master. It's an amazing depth of focus that that dog has. That's the same kind of focus that we need to have, continually focused on Jesus. So the next thing that we can do to ensure spiritual health and growth is to focus on Jesus. If we continue with the race analogy with Jesus as the founder and perfecter or completer of our faith, he's already ran the race. He's an expert. He knows everything about the race, making him the perfect coach for us in our own race of faith. A good athlete needs a good coach to make him the very best that he can be. You have the best coach in existence. Jesus is like that enthusiastic coach who's running alongside of us, cheering us, giving us encouragement and advice all along the way, saying, you're doing great, keep going, don't give up, you're almost there, go, 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 you're awesome, you're tearing it up, go. Listen to your coach. Verse 2 continues, it says, who? Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The author reminds us of the example that Jesus has set for us and how he ran his race. We've read about all of the tremendous examples of those who have lived by faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And now the author puts before us the greatest example of all of a life of faith, Jesus Christ, God the Son. Jesus kept the joy that was waiting for him and his people at the forefront of his mind as he ran his race, facing the humiliation and ultimately death on the cross. In a race, the runner remembers the finish line and the prize that he will receive. Rather than thinking about how tired he is and how much his legs hurt, the prize helps him to push through the pain. We have a reward waiting for us who complete our race. We need to remember the prize. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man or woman who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. So the next thing that we can do to ensure spiritual health and growth is remember the prize. In verse 3, consider him, Jesus, who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. The Christians that the letter of Hebrews was originally written to were facing tremendous persecution for their faith at the time. And the author tells them that when they are at the point of wanting to give up, to consider Jesus. Remember what he went through for you and what he has accomplished for you. In our own culture, it's pretty easy for us to start feeling sorry for ourselves. And our life can feel overwhelmingly hard to us. I'm not here to judge whether those feelings are legitimate and justified or not. But the solution for us is the same as it was for the believers in the first century. When we get to the point of wanting to give up, we need to consider Jesus. Remember what he went through for us and what he has accomplished for us. It puts everything else in perspective. Jesus suffered and died in our place, taking the punishment upon him that ought to have been ours so that we can go free, be brought to life spiritually, have the nature of Jesus grow up inside of us, have eternal life in heaven to look forward to. So Christian, faithlete, pick your chin up. God has been very good to you. You have a good life. Living in a wet cardboard box with Jesus Christ is better than living in a Beverly Hills mansion without him. The person of faith knows that. So when someone asks you what keeps you going, your answer is Jesus. So the last thing that we can do to ensure spiritual health and growth is consider Jesus. So the things that we've identified in this passage today to ensure our spiritual health and growth are these. Remember the crowd. You're not alone. You have many brothers and sisters supporting you that goes all the way back through history. Remove hindrances. Sin drags us down. Get rid of it. Run with endurance. This is a long distance race rather than a sprint. Settle in for the long haul and stick with it. Run like a tortoise. Follow the map. Stay on course. The Bible is your map. Focus on Jesus. Keep your eyes and your ears upon him and his leading. Remember the prize. Heaven is waiting for you. Finally, consider Jesus. Remember what Jesus has accomplished for you. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. World-class athletes, like Olympic gold medalist Michael Phelps, they train for 5 to 6 hours per day, every day, for years, carefully regulating every detail of their lives, their food intake, how much sleep they get, everything. And all of that work and dedication is to win a perishable prize. But you, faithlete, are in a race for an imperishable prize, a reward that will last forever. Live like you want it. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for what Christ has done for us. And Father, I pray that you would encourage your people this morning in our race of faith. Strengthen us. Fill us with courage and energy and your power, Lord. Touch your people with your love and your grace, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.